Welcome to the Superpower Success Podcast. It's time to shift your paradigm, gain some inspiration, and get moving towards that next level of success. How would you define leadership? This is something we've talked about on the podcast before, but today I want to take it from a little bit different spin. I want to think about it as, you know, what is the sacrifice that you make to be able to be a good leader? And so I've got Corey DiNicola with me, who is the CEO of Mainstream Boutique Franchising. And he has, you know, a huge team, and he's got people in all geographies and in different engagement with the company, whether it's franchisees or his staff. And when he looks at leadership, he looks at leadership with a really interesting and refreshing perspective. And so that's what we're going to talk about today is what Corey calls leadership self-sacrifice. Like, what do you need to do to be a really good leader? And what do you need to sacrifice to be a good leader? So thank you so much for being here today, Corey.
Thank you for having me.
So I'd love to have you start with your journey. You know, we don't do bios here. We just talk about, like, as leaders, what's our journey? What got us to this point? Because usually it's more of a jungle gym than it is an exact ladder, right?
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about that.
So it started, I guess, when I was born. It's a family business, so I've been in the business my entire life. I had no intention of being in the business after college, and then I realized that what I care about personally and what the business is doing are one and the same. So I went and I started in my parents' basement, and just driven by the difference that I knew we were making and could make. And it's been a wild ride since. I didn't have a ton of business experience and knowledge. It was purely being driven by that desire to make a difference. And that's a strong thing, because you can learn anything if you care enough about it. And that's essentially my journey.
Be passionate about anything if you care enough about it. And I don't mean to, and I've brought this up to you before, but I also think it's fascinating that you are a CEO, a male CEO of a female targeted business. Really,
right.
Really is. But your purpose and why it doesn't have to do with the product you sell. It's about really the service and the impact.
Yeah, it's bigger than the product. And I mean, I think it does take males to stand up and be a part of this. Our product does serve women. Our company serves women, and I'm proud of that. I mean, that really became something that I was passionate about when I saw my sister going through high school. And she had a strong purpose and values, and she was attacked by other kids for that. Mm-hmm. And I decided back then that it doesn't have to be this way, and it can't be this way. And people need to stand up and do what they believe in for things to change, and that's what I did.
And before we started recording, you know, we talked about kind of the societal rules or all of that. And the quote, you know, that I shared that's really impactful for me is like, who were you before the world told you who you were supposed to be? Right? And going back to that. And I think it really lends itself to what you're talking about and to leadership, too, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. And I love that quote. I hadn't heard that quote before, but I think that sums it up. It's who are you and what do you care about? Not what does the world tell you you should care about, but
Correct.
What do you care about? And that gets lost for a lot of people. And I think to the extent that we can find that in ourselves, we can do things that make a difference. Because if you care about it personally, if it's you, you're going to be the best at it.
And
right?
You're not going to let the noise or what other people are saying get in the way if you're truly, truly
right.
committed
because
to it.
Because that will happen.
It will.
And I use Taylor Swift quote all the time, but it's so true. People throw rocks at things that shine. So if you're doing something that shines or is making a difference, people are going to throw rocks at it. I would actually say that if you're not getting rocks thrown at you, mm-hmm. you're not being you. You're not doing something that you believe in, and you haven't sold out to it. Because once you do, you're going to get the rocks thrown at you. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is.
If you're strong enough in your convictions
Absolutely.
And what you're putting out there.
Right.
That's a really good point. So I want to dive into the leadership topic, but first, because you're on the Superpower Success Podcast, I need to ask, what do you believe is a superpower, right? One of your innate strengths that has helped you to this point in your success?
I think it's having faith that doing the next right thing and doing something that you truly believe in, regardless of if it makes business sense on paper, will make the difference you're seeking to make. It will have a positive outcome. Maybe not right away, but in the long term.
So you're trusting your gut.
Yeah, my superpower is I know that, and I can be confident in making decisions that are based on that, and that really outweighs any of the other considerations. Is this the right thing? And I go with it, and I'm not afraid, and I trust it. I have faith.
I think that's really, you know, what I also hear is, you know, people from the outside looking at that strength that you have might say, you're just a risk taker. But really, you don't see it as risk because you have such deep faith and confidence in the decision that it's not a risk per se.
No, I think it's actually a lot easier to do things that way.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be what the market tells you that you should be. You just have to be you. And that's a lot easier than trying to be something mm-hmm. that somebody else says you have to be. So I think it's easier, but it's also harder because you have to be prepared for criticism.
Yep.
And that comes with the territory.
Absolutely. I love that. So let's talk about this topic of leadership self-sacrifice, right? That you talk about in terms of your leadership. And you and I have the same philosophy on how we define leadership, is that anybody is a leader. Hopefully everybody in our organization is a leader. It's not a title. It's not a direct report kind of thing. But talk about this concept of leadership self-sacrifice and how you've realized, right, the impact of that in your own
career.
Yeah.
Well, first I would say, you're right. I think everybody is a leader. If you influence somebody or something, you're a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are different reasons or different ways that people look at leadership, and I think that's where the big distinction is. It's not the end of a career of hard work or paying your dues and then, oh, I get to be the leader now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a reward, it's a sacrifice. It is a responsibility. I am going to serve these people who believe what I believe, and I am going to do whatever it takes to do that. And that is going to include self-sacrifice. So it's not a reward, it is a responsibility. And I think that gets lost in the world that we live in sometimes. I think people see it as, oh, that person gets that office or gets, it's like a mm-hmm. social thing. But for a good leader, a leader that I believe is good at least, it's a responsibility and a sacrifice. It's caring more about the people that you serve and the difference that you want to make than you care about your own convenience or self-comfort or whatever those things are. It's doing what it takes for the people that you serve.
I think this is, I mean, what, as you describe it, it's just refreshing for me to hear, and I love the way you're describing it because it's really flipping the script on what everybody thinks leadership actually is. I think that's where we've screwed up, is that society has defined leadership like a trophy,
right?
Like it's a certain badge.
Right.
That you get, instead of it being the actions that you're taking is what creates it.
Right. And when you get that badge, it's like a sense of relief, like, oh, I've made it.
Yeah.
But that's not what it is.
It's the beginning.
It's the beginning. And it's, you better be prepared
mm-hmm.
to sacrifice whatever you need to sacrifice, because you're there to serve the people that you lead. And that's a huge responsibility. And if it's something you care about enough, if the difference is one that you care enough about, then that's what a leader is, and that's where a leader wants to be. They would rather do that than be on a pedestal. And that's not what it's about.
And that's where, I read a lot about the leadership deficit in the corporate world that you're seeing, where people are in titles, meaning they're in the box, right, on the org chart, but they're not prepared to lead people. And I think part of it is that they haven't had good people around them that have shown them what leadership actually should
right.
be.
Right. And I think probably they've lost sight of who they are and what they care about and have focused on what do I need to do so that these people see me as a leader or see me as somebody that will get promoted. I don't like hierarchy. I've never liked hierarchy. I think that it is just stripping people of who they are and what they care about, and it becomes who do I need to be to get to this role where I can be called a leader. Mm-hmm. And and I don't believe that's what it is. I don't think that's what leadership is. So yeah, I would say to people that are in that position, just sit back and think about the quote that you said, mm-hmm. who were you before the world told you who you were? Mm-hmm. And if that's different than who you're trying to be for advancement in your company, then I think you might have a tough decision to make.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, not everybody has to make that decision and be a leader. It's okay not to make that decision. Just don't become a leader if you're not prepared to serve and sacrifice for the people that you serve and the difference that you want to make. And that's okay. I think that's actually the heroic thing to do, is don't be a leader.
It's really fascinating that you bring this up, because when we work with clients from a culture standpoint and we assess kind of their career development tracks, one of our biggest pieces of advice is to break that traditional model of you have to put this much time in, and then you become a team lead, and then you become a supervisor, and then you become a manager, and then you become a VP, and then you, because when you're talking to smaller businesses, right, where there aren't 17 layers of management you can promote someone through, you have to be thinking about those people that don't want to lead people. Like, I still believe they're all leaders, but they don't want direct reports. They don't want to have kind of that influence. They just want to do really good work. And we talk to them about creating parallel paths where that management path is not the only path through an organization, that
right.
there are other paths that are just as fulfilling.
As fulfilling and as important to the difference that your organization is trying to make. And it's okay. That's the thing.
To not.
And society tells us you have to have people that you're responsible for that report to you to be a leader,
to be successful,
right?
Or to be,
and that's
like,
just not true, and especially in the world that we live in. I think it's getting a lot better in that sense, mm-hmm. that more organizations are recognizing that, and I think it's freeing people to be who they are. And when you are, when who you are is aligned with what you're doing, you can reach the full potential that you have, because you're being you. You're not trying to be something else, because we can't be as good of something else as we can be of who we are. It's not possible.
That's essentially the definition of high performance in an organization. And once you can have everybody tapped into that, it doesn't matter where they sit in the organization or who they report to,
right.
if you can get them tapped into that.
Right. And I think it's the job of the leader to make sure that you have a place where no matter what their position is, they're given the same respect. They have the same voice it's not one person making all the decisions. One person gets this and the others have to listen. It's no, we're in this together. I don't care what your role is. You're on this team because we're passionate about making this difference, and you're here for a reason.
Yep.
And it's on the leader to make sure that that's what's happening. I don't think the hierarchy works.
So talk a little bit about that for people that are listening and going, like, how do you run a business? I mean, there's always got to be some, but do you run a flat organization effectively? Like, you know, with the non-hierarchy, like what, you know, and where are the stumbling even blocks of that? I'm sure it gets hard at times for span of control.
And when I say hierarchy, I'm speaking about that in a not necessarily a literal way. I think in a chain of command, I am, my voice is more important than yours because I am step above you.
Yep.
That's the hierarchy I'm talking about. And I think it works because people are respected. People feel like they can be themselves and bring their best self into their work. And I think that makes a huge difference. I mean, there still has to be somebody that's making a decision.
Yes.
There still has to be, you still have to have a boss, but your boss should not be somebody that you're scared of or that you don't think you can be you in front of. It's
literally the definition, and you've used the word a couple times, but servant leadership, where as a boss, meaning a manager that has responsibility for other people, servant leadership says that those people, you should create a team of people that are smarter than you in different areas.
Right.
That's really what servant leadership is at its core.
Yeah, and it's helping them be their best self. It's serving them, and in turn, the organization and the mission's going to be served. So yeah, it's getting people on your team and then serving them, serving the cut, like doing everything that you can to advance the mission and putting that above yourself. And that, it's hard. It's very hard.
It's hard when you think about, you know, basic human needs of status. And, you know, and that's where people get caught up in it, is they put the value, their value, in that status piece.
Yeah.
Instead of putting their value, just like their team, in what they do really well.
Yeah.
And I think so many organizations right now don't allow people to be, and maybe they do, and people just don't step into it. I shouldn't be that bold to say they don't allow them, but to really step into who they are, the environment doesn't allow them to be that way.
Yeah, and I think it spans beyond organizations. I think it's the world that we live in. There's a scorecard or a scoreboard that the world gives you, and it's not, I mean, the world can't tell you who you are and if you're good at who you are, or if it's okay for you to be who you are. That comes from within. That doesn't come from the world. So I think that has probably been made worse by social media and...
Correct.
I mean...
Just comparison, and
we're
seeing other...
It's a trap.
We're trying to believe, do what someone else has done because we believe that's the right...
Right. Right. And I think people... every single person has unique knowledge, value that they can contribute. And that's where you can be your best and make the biggest difference, is when you are being you and being the best you that you can be, not being somebody else that you think you should be because the world has said.
That's what you need to get to the next level.
Yes. And unfortunately, it is something that's influential, and it does make being you a sacrifice of sorts.
Mm-hmm. It's sometimes, I really like how you laid it out at the beginning, that it's easy, but it's also the most difficult path.
Yeah.
So it's easy because it's you. It's just tapping into who you are, especially as a leader, but it's the most difficult path because you're going to stand out in the noise. And people are going to look at you as if you're doing something wrong when you're actually really doing it right.
Yes. Especially if they're not willing to do what
the
you're
same
doing.
Thing. They don't have the confidence.
Right.
And
there are two ways to have the the biggest building. You can either build the biggest building or you can tear down all of the other buildings that are bigger than yours. And unfortunately, there are people that believe that having the biggest building means you have to tear down other buildings or other people versus let's lift each other up. Let's build together. Because imagine if we're working together and we're building the biggest buildings because we care versus having the biggest building because we're tearing the other ones down. As a society or as a group, if you look into the future, the landscape's going to look a lot different. Mm-hmm. The former, who knows how high the buildings will be. The latter, there's going to be a tall building, but how tall is it going to be compared to... So I guess the lesson is the difference that you can make when you're lifting each other up versus tearing each other down is... It can't even be compared.
It can't compete.
Right.
That's really, when you think about business and right. competitive advantage, that's where the competitive advantage lies.
Right.
And so much of the work that we do with companies and culture, which is why we created that simplified model, is we're overcomplicating it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the things we can do, the things you're doing in your business are free. Right? It isn't bring in some fancy... I mean, we sell this. So if you want to bring in a fancy trainer and do something, you totally can. But people just think that you need to do all these other external
right,
things.
Right, we make it so much harder than...
When it's really just tapping into what's already there.
Right.
And I just don't know, outside of just saying it in plain English, like, right? And people are thinking about, like, yeah. Easier said than done, which it, it's
100%.
Just... 100%. It is hard.
It is so much... It is easy to say and extremely hard to do. But once you start doing it, and you see that, I think sometimes people are, and I know I was scared to do it because I didn't know what was going to happen, and if I could come back from it,
yeah.
Like, you're going into what feels like no man's land.
Yep.
And it's simple, but it's hard, but it is worthwhile.
And that's the thing, is I think it's going to take more and more people proving that it does work, meaning from a business standpoint. It works for the bottom line.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It works for the top line. And you can achieve what you want to achieve and more.
Yes.
It's just going to take more and more examples of business leaders and companies that are willing to say, we're going to take the risk, when it's really not a risk, but...
We're going to do what we believe is right.
Yeah.
And we're going to trust that by doing that, the top line, the bottom line... is going to be a result, but not the focus. And I believe that's true. That's what I've seen. Mm-hmm. And
you know what's really interesting is I just had this conversation yesterday with someone who's probably listening to this, but that worked with me 15 years ago in large corporate, right? And knew me then. And she came to meet with me in my office and didn't really know what I had built since then. And when I started talking about it, she said, I've never heard somebody with so much conviction about what they're doing and
yes.
not the revenue. Like, I'm building this and here's
yes.
why we're staying true to this. And I didn't even know I was, like, literally preaching what
yes.
I believe, because I think when you get locked in on it, you don't even have to think about it.
Right.
It's like a muscle movement
yes.
where you're just like, you just go there.
Right.
And it becomes so natural because you're tapped into something that feels so much deeper
right.
than the surface.
And
level.
Other people are so inspired by it.
Correct.
Because let's not fool ourselves. You can tell when somebody's being authentic and when somebody isn't.
Correct.
We can tell. And when somebody is being authentic and they're speaking from their heart, that's inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love watching people who care about something deeply, do whatever it is they're doing, whether it's a musician or it's
yeah.
an athlete or, like, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's somebody that deeply cares about it, that I love.
It's
because
exciting.
It's inspiring.
Yes.
It's like they are being who they are, and it's just the whole energy changes when you're around people
yes.
like that. So, and I think you have to look at, I think a lot of times we look at, and this is one of the things that'll complicate this whole process, is if I'm going to give this, what am I going to get in return?
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not something that I'm going to get in return, I'm not going to give. And that needs to be turned upside down.
Yes.
Because you've got to give because you care about what you're giving and the difference that it's going to make, not because you think you're going to get something in return. And the paradox or the crazy thing about doing that is, in the long term, what you get in return is actually a lot greater than. So it's give to give. Have the heart to serve, because that's who you are. And it's not going to be the same thing. What one person has the heart to do and somebody else has the heart to do, those are going to be different things, and that's okay. That's important. But find what it is for you and sell out to it. And don't look for something in return.
The feeling that you get, right?
Yes.
That internal satisfaction versus the external monetary or whatever satisfaction.
Because then it's going to attract people who believe what you believe.
Yeah.
And
it's essentially the law of attraction, right? For anybody who believes in that, is when you are in that space where you are fulfilled, you draw the things you need into your energy.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the idea, you know, talking about watching the things that inspire you, whether it's a musician, whether it's an athlete, whether it's another business leader in a completely different area, which is the relationship we have. It is, I think we have that inspiration in seeing somebody do something that they're so good at. But what we need to use that as is then allow that to inspire the other person to do what they're good at. So when I hear a musician, I have zero, like probably negative if there's actually a scale, musical ability. But I can still be inspired to do something I want to do by watching someone else
Absolutely.
Be in their inspiration. I don't have to need to be good at what and be jealous of what they have.
Right.
I need to use that
yes.
to propel me into what I'm inspired
right.
to do.
And then we celebrate each other and then we strengthen each other. And that's, I mean, that's what we do in our stores. There's nothing more inspiring than seeing somebody walk in to one of our stores and walk out with more confidence and walk out feeling better than they felt when they walked in mm-hmm. and going out and they're having that impact on the people that they come into contact with. So that inspires me. It inspires me that we are people that can lift each other up. We can also be people that pull each other down, mm-hmm. but it's a choice and it has a multiplier effect. So when you're lifting somebody up, when you're wanting to be your best and wanting other people to be their best, they go out and it multiplies and it spreads. Mm-hmm. So we were talking a little bit earlier about how can we make change in this world? And I think it starts with one interaction. I think it starts with one, do the next right thing and it will spread.
That was going to be kind of my next question to kind of start to wrap the conversation is, what is a tip? Is just do the next right thing. If someone's listening and saying, they agree with everything we're saying, right? But how do I start to shift?
Yeah, and what I would say, and this is something that I realized at one point, and since then, it's been a lot easier. It's focus on the doing the next right thing. You don't have to figure out the whole puzzle. You don't have to figure out the outcome or go through all these scenarios. Sometimes it's important to do those things, but at the end of the day, focus on what is the next right thing. And if you keep doing the next right thing,
it's going to lead you in
the right direction. And I think somebody said a quote, people tend to overestimate what we can do in a day and underestimate what we can do in a year. Mm-hmm. And so when you start doing this, the next right thing, it might seem small. It might seem like, I'm not going to get to where I want to be by doing the next right thing. Trust me, it scales quickly and it multiplies and it's simple. You don't have to worry about three things into the future. Just do the next right thing and keep doing that. And the impact is profound.
I love this. I cannot tell you how much this has filled my bucket today. So I know it's going to be super impactful for the people that are listening. So if people want to know more about you, about Mainstream, just overall, how can they get more information? What's the best way?
We interact with our customers on social media, I'd say mm-hmm. the most. But you can email me directly. It's Corey@mainstreamboutique.com. I mean, I care about helping other people. So yeah. If there's a way I can do that, if there's a way my experience can be shared with somebody that mm-hmm. that will help them, I mean, I don't care if you're a competitor. I care more about helping other people than I do about myself or about winning. So,
and I know that firsthand. So that is not lip service for sure from Corey. So we will include all of that information in the podcast notes. Can we take this on the road, you and I? Like, maybe we need a show. We need like a...
You lead the way. I'll do whatever I can to help.
Awesome. To all of you listening, you know, make sure that you're subscribing. Make sure you're giving us ratings and reviews. But the biggest thing to make sure is that you're taking this wisdom and this advice and just making small incremental shifts in your mindset and in your thoughts today and in your actions today. That's the whole purpose of this podcast, is not to radically force you to shift who you are. It's to make those small incremental changes to get back to who you are, right? To get back to who you're supposed to be, right? Deep down and try to tune out some of the other stuff around you. So as always, we're grateful that you're here and that you continue to engage in this podcast. And we're grateful for people like Corey who are willing to come on here and be vulnerable and be open about their stories. So until next time, thanks everyone.